Everybody jump, jump, jump.
Oh, yes, yes. It's a Thursday morning. Taz and the Moose with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Heller with your updates as Bogish continues to enjoy Disney. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
All right. Just trying to warm up. You know, it was outside recently. It's freezing here for those that are living.
It's cold outside.
Yeah, it's freezing. Right, for those in Arizona or Texas or Florida. We're in hell here. It's freezing and windy as heck.
A cold hell, yes.
I'm telling you, right, a cold hell.
Yes.
Freezing.
It is very cold this morning. How you doing? You good?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm fair to Midland.
All
no,
right.
I'm good. I'm
there
all right. I mean, and how are you?
I'm doing okay? Well. Hanging in there.
Great. Hey, Mike, how are you, Mike?
Good. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I'm okay.
I didn't ask, but all right.
Yeah, well, you look
See that?
Way.
All you got to do is go,
Yes, yeah.
Well,
so the team is doing well this morning.
Yeah,
on this Thursday as we kick it off once again with a little bit of baseball.
Week's flying by too.
No, I don't know about that, but we speculated yesterday about Anthony Rendon.
Oh yeah,
the latest free agent signing about potentially where he might end up, and we both speculated that would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, it was Los Angeles, or in this case Anaheim, but. Mm. He ends up with the Angels, a 7-year, $245 million deal, a deal very similar without the deferred money that his former teammate Steven Strasburg got to return to the defending World Series champs, or the World Series champs in the Washington Nationals. So Rendon is going to go out there and man third base and be the MVP candidate that he was this past year for Washington. He's going to go out there and do that now long term for the for Artie Moreno and the Angels.
Yeah, that's something, huh? I mean, Angels got another really good offensive offensive player, really good hitter, tremendous hitter, great hitter, real professional hitter. The dude hardly ever strikes out, right? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh,
so
he's great.
He really is. It's interesting, though, with the Dodgers, you know, it's like Dodgers kind of missed out on several, you know, Garrett Cole, obviously, and obviously this here with Rendon. I think a lot of, you know, everybody thought maybe he was going to go to the Dodgers, right? Like we were saying, but. Dude, from what I'm understanding, what I was reading, they didn't even make an offer.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
No,
what the heck, man?
And there seemed to be people that thought after the Dodgers were in on the periphery on Garrett Cole that maybe he would end up with wearing the blue and the beautiful uniforms that the Dodgers wear, the blue and white uniforms and the road grays and the like. But
Dodger blue.
Yes, correct. And he now it doesn't end up there, ends up with the Angels. Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going to turn their attention, obviously, addressing that starting rotation as far as the Dodgers go. You thought maybe there were going to be big players in this marketplace. And it's been the Nats, the Angels, and the Yankees who have signed the three Boris clients. To the tune of what, about $825 million over the last 3 days. I mean, as the winter meetings wind down and wrap up shop today out in San Diego.
I mean, talk about an agent making some money over the course of 3 days.
Dude. Yes.
3 days. Just imagine, if he's getting, I mean, you're better with numbers than me. He's probably getting 10%. That's what most agents get 10%, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in all facets of entertainment.
Yeah, $8 million.
$8
million. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy. What that is?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Right?
Yeah. I think that's, yeah. I mean that, it's remarkable when you think about it.
Mike,
I mean,
made a face like that's wrong number. That's wrong number?
Well, 10% of 800.
Oh, no, it's 80.
Yeah, 80.
81 million.
Oh, my God. I almost fell off my chair. 81 million.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking, yeah, you know what? I was wrong.
Well, Seguin Jones. I mean, this is, you know, 680.
81 million.
Mike's on top of it. He's a mathematician. 81 million.
Yeah, I have a hard time. I don't understand. I don't have a hard time thinking he's making $81 million over the last 3 days.
But Moose, think about it. He's got to be getting a guy like him might even get more than 10% because he's such a high profile agent. I mean, the 99% of these agents in entertainment, sports, everything, they get 10%. That's the usually the go and get.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You're right. I don't know. I guess I just have.
I have a hard time believing it too.
I just have a hard time.
I don't want to believe it.
You know, thinking that, when Cole signs with the Yankees for $324 million, it's really like kind of $290+ million because Scott Boras is making $32 million.
You got to pay.
No, I get it. I mean, I've had to pay agents.
It sucks.
No, I get it. I guess I look at it and say, well, I mean, is Scott Boras? I mean, really, anybody could have been the agent for Gerrit Cole.
Absolutely.
Is he really worth 10%?
Rendon also.
Yeah, or even Steven Strasburg.
Right.
I mean, it's not like you're pushing a commodity that nobody wants. I mean, yeah. You know, and throw in he also had Moustakas signed for $64 million with the Cincinnati Reds, whereas he's going to be manning second base. So if you look at that, 10% of that deal is $6 million.
Should go into agent.
So he's made close to $90 million so far. That if he's getting 10%, I don't know. I think that's too much money, to be honest with you.
Yes, sir, I agree. But you know, with a lot, I'm not saying he earned this part, but. What a lot of these guys, these agents do, they're not, it's easy, obviously, to your point, to sell these great players as the great players they are and what they could do for said team. But I'm strongly assuming he's getting other things, other things in the contract that you can't get for yourself. You know, that's what the better agents get. You know what I mean? But I don't know, if you're that high profile of a player, right? I mean, in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, what are you fighting for? First class tickets? No, that's a layup. You're getting that. Well, I mean, what are you fighting for? Guarantee? Okay, the guaranteed money. You want to get as much guaranteed money? Okay, that's a real thing. But otherwise, your expenses are going to be paid. You're making tons of money as it is. Like I don't know what you're battling for. What that guy's really earning, that agent, except for probably the guaranteed. You know, the bigger guaranteed deal. You know, so if it's $80 million, hey, I want my guy to have $60 million guaranteed. No, we'll give him $30 million guaranteed. Well, then you know you're working. You know, well, we'll then give him $50 million. No, we'll give you $40 million with that routine. You know,
yeah. So. No, and all contracts in Major League Baseball are guaranteed, right? I mean, you have a little bit more of a fight when you look at the National Football League, right. But in Major League Baseball and the NBA, I think in the National Hockey League as well. I mean, the contracts are pretty much all guaranteed,
full guarantee.
Yeah.
Mm. So I don't know what this dude.
I think there are instances certainly where, you know, you're paying. I guess I'm looking at it for Gerrit Cole. It's, you know, you knew the number was going to be astronomical. It ends up being $324 million. I mean, how much of that did really, you know, Scott Boras help out in? I mean, did he get an extra $20 million?
I don't know, man.
I mean, did he get the ninth year? I mean, right. I don't know. I guess the Malusis ninth year. Yeah, right.
That's what I call it.
I don't know. I guess I look at it off of the Cole contract and say, well, he got $32 million conceivably. If he's getting 10%, and you're right about that being the number for
that's
agents
number. Yeah.
On the landscape, I guess I look at it and say, well, is he really worth $32 million? I mean, I think a lot of people could have been the agent for Gerrit Cole and gotten that kind of contract from the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, usually with the agents, you know, they have contacts. You know, they have the better contacts, and you don't have to get your hands dirty dealing with management. So, you know, but that level of players we're talking about, like Rendon or Gerrit Cole or Strasburg, these guys are like monster names in the game. I mean, but nobody works out their own deal. These guys all have agents.
No, I get it. I get it. I don't know if it's 10%. I guess that's the way I'm looking at it.
Well, I see what you're saying. Maybe,
I mean,
maybe
it
it's 5%. I don't know. I mean, I would think a guy like a lot of times, for people, like most people listen to us right now, they've never had an agent or a manager. They never had to deal with that. And that, I'm not being condescending. I'm just being honest. Most people don't. So, you know, guys in our position, we know how agents work for the most part because, you know, you're in a business of entertainment. You know, what happens is these agents, you know, they're going to battle for you to get you more money or guaranteed deal or get you perks in your deal or longer-term stuff.
Right, the good ones.
The good ones.
There are bad ones.
Right. Now, to your point, though, the good ones, not just in sports, for actors, for musicians. I know years ago I was talking to a couple different voiceover agents. Okay, good luck getting signed as a talent with the better ones. Dude, these people are so picky on who they take because they're, like you said, good ones. Like, they're good agents in any sport or business of entertainment. Some of them won't take a client.
No.
Like, so it's not like, well, this guy's a really good player, so Boras will take him. That's not true, you know what I mean? Like, some of these guys are real picky on who they take. So, you know, they built this brand of their own. It's amazing.
No, you're not wrong about that because, and you also have to find the agent that you know, isn't too big if you have not accomplished what you're looking to accomplish because you want them to be able to find you work. I mean, there's all kinds of different levels, right? I mean, because they, you can start with a big agent, but if their priorities are guys that are making, you know, 9, 12, 15, yeah, in this instance, $35 million a year, and you're like, you know, a relief pitcher, you're hoping, you know, you might be put on the back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I do know what you're saying.
You want to make sure that you're in a spot where you have an agent that's working hard for you and that you're not on the periphery or on the back burner.
You're right, but that's another topic off of that because, like, again, so what happens if you're like a relief pitcher that's whatever, you know, not a high-profile player at all, but maybe you're on the – you know, Morris is, maybe you're in his organization, you're represented by him, but he might have other younger agents under him that rep you.
Yes, yeah.
That's, you know what I mean?
True, yeah, so, yeah. And you're right about that.
Just trying to educate the audience.
No, and that is, and that is something that clearly, well, thank you for that, and that is something that clearly can transpire and can happen because we know that, you know, Scott Boras is not an agency of one. It's not an office of one. He's got a lot of people that are working for him and working underneath him. What's nice about this marketplace is that it opened up. You didn't have to wait till January or February, that there were things that went down, as we discussed the past couple of days at the winter meetings in San Diego, that he had high-priced, big-name players signing long-term deals and, you know, and going to the Angels, the Nats, and the Yankees, respectively. I mean, that's good for Major League Baseball. Now, there is a clear delineation between the haves and the have-nots in Major League Baseball. That's not necessarily a good thing. But Rendon is going to make the Angels a better team now. Are they a championship-caliber team? No, but it's a team that's clearly motivated for an owner that's tired of losing. That's got the best player in the world in Mike Trout aboard.
Right, yeah. Now you got, you know, you pair him up with Rendon. You got Trout, Rendon, you know, you got...
Still got Pujols, yeah, that bad right, contract right, for another
that's
couple
true,
of years.
That's true. How old is he now? Jeez, he's mid-30s, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
yeah, so you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just the bigger thing for me, I'm just surprised at like the Dodgers, that they just didn't go full throttle at this guy. And I would think that a lot, you know, the fan base in Los Angeles, the bulk of them are Dodger fans, where because, you know, and you're sure if you're an Angels fan, you're probably ticked off because you're... You're in Anaheim, but you're called Los Angeles, which technically it's not. I've been to both, right? It's not the same. It's near it. It's near L.A., but Anaheim's a beautiful, beautiful city, beautiful town. So it's its own, you know, entity. So now you're called the Los Angeles Angels. People in that area that are mostly Dodger fans, they wanted Anthony Rendon to end up in Dodger blue, and now he's with the Angels. So I would think that some of the folks on the West Coast that are hardcore fans that are, you know, Dodger fans are a little ticked off about it.
Yeah, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from those Dodger fans. You know, are you disappointed? Another disappointing ouster in the postseason, right? And you can point to the manager, Dave Roberts. You can point to Clayton Kershaw and his failure against the Washington Nationals. But a team that clearly was the favorite coming out of the regular season, Taz, had a great regular season. A team that's, you know, gone to, you know, went to at one point in time to what, two straight World Series, losing to the Red Sox and the Astros respectively in those World Series. It's been a while since they've won a championship, but that's the thing that would frustrate me if I was a Dodger fan. I look across the country, I look at the Yankees. The Yankees don't win a World Series. They go a decade without making it to the Fall Classic, right? 2009 to 2019. The last time they won a championship was 2009. When Sabathia and Burnett were anchoring that starting rotation, and the Yankees go spend $324 million on Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
And they're coming off a year until they just won another, you know, 100-plus games. And Aaron Boone has had ultra success in the regular season, but they were ticked off and motivated, saying, no, the time is now to strike. Let's go add Garrett Cole, and they give him $324 million. The Los Angeles Dodgers signed nobody.
Right. No, they didn't. I was going to say.
Aside from Blake Treinen for $10 million.
Oh, there you go. What I was going to say, to the Yankees' credit, too, okay, to show to their team, to their organization, and their fan base, the Yankees, they were prepared to overpay for Cole, and they did. They did overpay for him.
No doubt.
And they probably paid north of $20 million over, you know, but they know they had to do it, and they did it. And I, as a non-Yankee fan, as a Met fan, I tip my cap to them, man, because I respect that. I mean, if I was a Yankee fan, I'd be happy as heck because that's the ownership saying, look, we're fixed to overpay for a guy. I mean, how great he is, Garrett Cole. We're ready to overpay for him because we want to win. And we know we need a guy like this on the hill to win games. So,
do you look at the Yankees now as more of a feel of being mercenaries than being the likable bunch they were a couple years ago?
Well, hold on a second. That's my glasses coming off my face, putting on the desk. I don't think the Yankees were ever likable. So I don't know what that means, but you're a Yankee fan. So,
well, I think a couple years ago they were more likable. I think they were like, well, you're a Met fan now.
I know. It's hard to ask me that question. You're right. I'm a born and bred New Yorker. So to me, I grew up, the Yankees are the evil empire. No, because they always had everybody. They always won. You know what I mean? And they were always dominant. You know what I mean? So we were the slugs from Queens. You know what I mean?
When I grew up, it was a Mets town. It was the 80s. The Yankees were winning 87, 88, 89 games.
Well, I'm a little older than you too.
Yeah, the playoff structure was a little bit different than it is right now, or a lot different than it is right now. And certainly the divisional breakdown was a lot different than it is right now. And, you know, the Mets were the team, right? The 86 team. And,
true.
86, you know, and consistent, perennial, playoff performer. I mean, that team should have won more than just one championship. So, growing up as a Yankee fan at that stage, I looked at the Yankees being more disappointing. You know, I don't go back to the 60s and the 70s and Guidry. And, you know, I saw Guidry at the tail end of his career. I didn't see Ron Guidry when Ron Guidry was Ron Guidry.
No, I did.
And Louisiana Lightning.
Man.
Yeah, and he was great on the, no doubt about it.
Reggie Jackson knocking balls over the fence on a regular basis. All these guys, Chambliss, Nettles, great teams, man. Great.
When I say likable, I mean to the very fact of it was a group in which they developed, traded for prospects. Those guys came up and were playing well. You know, Judge, Bird, Gary Sanchez. When they traded for Didi Gregorius, who replaced Derek Jeter at shortstop, who's now a member of the Philadelphia Phillies in a 14 million, 1 year deal that he just signed this offseason. You know, a lot of people looked at that group as saying, well, the Yankees are doing it differently. They're a lot more likable now. From your perspective, they've never been likable because you're not a Yankee.
I'm wearing a Met hat. That's the thing. But I just want to say this one thing, though, about the Yankees. If I could pull myself out of being a Met fan watching it, I don't think the bulk of baseball fans are hating on the Yankees because of the Cole deal, Gerrit Cole. You know, everybody knew the Yankees needed pitching.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would assume that the bulk of baseball fans across the country look at it like, hey, they overspent for a guy that they needed. So I don't know why you would hate on a guy or hate on an organization for that. You know what I mean?
I guess here we go again.
Well, that's why I tweeted what I tweeted the other day. The rich get richer because they got all the talent. But they needed it. They needed a guy like this.
You look at a lot of, aside from Stan, a lot of the talent they've got on the team, are guys that they have, developed. Not all of it.
Homegrown.
Like, yeah, correct.
To a degree,
I look at that as being a case of, well, then your organization is kind of running properly. It's not... every guy on their team is not guys that were established someplace else and the Yankees brought in via free agency. I don't know if there's any team that could go about doing that. It would cost you way too much money.
Yeah.
So there's going to have to be some development. But I think the majority of the guys that the Yankees have, they have developed. However, Taz, I don't know what that percentage is. And it might be a little bit of a New York bias. I don't know if the... the guy or gal that's a baseball fan in Texas or Florida or California, really care all that much that Gerrit Cole signed or that passionate about it. I guess I'm feeling the pushback and the vitriol toward the Yankees in the area that we live in, this tri-state area, in terms of saying, okay, oh my God, the Yankees are just doing what the Yankees always do, spending money like drunken sailors.
Right.
And that could kind of sway the way I look at things a little bit more because – we're not in California.
No.
We might be walking around. When Gerrit Cole signed with the Yankees and you walked in, you're walking, Hollywood Boulevard, people might be like, who the hell cares about Gerrit Cole?
No, true.
In New York City, people cared.
Right. People cared. And you're going to get that. You're going to get if you're in Chicago, Cubs fans, if the Cubs are building their organization bigger and better, and the White Sox are not doing that, well, then you know what? You're going to get people, White Sox fans, are going to be burying them and complaining about the Cubs. I mean, or hating on them. Look, I never grew up the Yankees. To me, Yankees were never loved.
Gotcha.
Evil empire.
I understand.
Patriots South. That's what they are.
Ah, really?
Dude, yeah.
To you?
Yeah. I don't hate them like that as much as I hate the Patriots. How weird is that? I don't hate the Yankees as much as I hate the Patriots.
Well, I understand that, but, I mean, the playoffs, you start rooting for the Yankees.
I don't really root. I don't root against them.
Well, that's the point. If you hate them that much, do you ever root for the Pats?
Never.
All right, but you look at the Yankees, they make it to the playoffs. If the Mets are not there and they're not taking on the Mets, you'd rather see the Yankees win.
I'm kind of
you can't hate them that much.
I hate them. I don't hate them that much.
If I hate a team, I can never root for.
That's the Patriots.
And you root for the Yankees.
I didn't say root. You said root. I said I'm kind of like indifferent.
Oh, indifferent.
I don't root against them.
What, you watch the game and you're like Switzerland?
Yeah, I smile and watch.
Oh, that's it. You have no rooting interest one way or the other.
Have a Tostitos.
I gotcha. Oh. It's Taz and the Moose on this Thursday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Taz the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning. 855-212-4CBS. That is your number to call. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Ryan Wilson's going to join us, CBS Sports HQ, NFL analyst and reporter. He's going to join us coming your way about an hour from now, in hour number two. Always good to catch up with Ryan and talk all things NFL and see exactly where this Pats investigation is going to go.
I'm thinking I'm buying this. I've been looking around. I was looking for Christmas ornaments, and it segued into looking for plates.
A dinner tray?
Yeah, look at it, though.
Yeah, it's. What are you doing with that?
Well, look. See the Bills?
I see the Bill. Yeah.
Buffalo Bills.
So anything I could stick a Bills logo on right now, you'll buy? No. What are you exactly doing with that?
It's a cheese plate that you could put dip in. It's a peninsula platter, they call it. So you put cheese all over here, you chop it up, and you put fondue and, like, queso in there. And you dip cheese into cheese with crackers. It's like when I
say you'll never use that.
Sounds like my wife.
Let me save you money. You'll never use that.
It's $50, bro.
Don't waste money on that. No,
it's they got me because I was looking for Christmas.
Don't buy that. Buy something else you'll wear. Buy I don't know anything else with
anything else but that. Yeah,
you're never gonna wear. You're never gonna use that.
Well, the thing is, we're big fondue people in the house. But the thing is, like, I was looking for Christmas ornaments because my wife, I have to buy my own Christmas ornament because my wife said we have too much sports ornaments on the tree. Enough. Because of all, my son playing sports all the years. There's always different stuff. The tree's just all sports stuff. And she's like, my wife's like a girly girl. So she's like, let's put angels on the tree. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm looking.
More festive.
She goes, you have two Buffalo Bill ornaments on the tree. Enough.
Yeah, you don't need, need to do any more.
So, because she won't leave one on the tree where it's an actual buffalo with the Bills logo, like, embedded in his belly.
That's a nice logo.
It's
that's
brown,
a nice ornament.
She hates it. So that never makes it on a tree. It makes it, like, on the end table, like, behind a plant. So I'm trying to find something a little more Christmassy.
That has the Buffalo Bills logo on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Nice blue ball.
Yes, right. Do that, yes.
Anyway,
but I would not buy that cheese platter. That will never happen. I mean, good luck with the ornaments.
You don't like it?
No, I would not buy that cheese platter.
You're a big
I'm not saying
guy.
It's not nice. I'm just saying there's no that will remain in whatever closet or whatever it might
be. I have a massive kitchen, so I have room for it. That's not the problem.
Well, it's not a matter of having. You're never going to use it. Why buy something you're never going to use?
Well, wait a minute, Moose. I entertain all the time. We have people over.
But you've also made it perfectly clear your wife is the gourmet in the house. She sets. You think your wife, you think your lovely wife, when your company's coming over, she needs a cheese platter, is looking for the Buffalo Bills one?
No, if I bought that, she has no idea I'm actually looking at that.
Yeah.
She'd be livid.
Yeah,
like, not mad, livid.
Well, I don't know about being livid over
like
a cheese plate.
Like, no. Well, she can get a little temper going.
that might be a little much. I think I might.
I'm not saying she's like taking a hammer to my head.
Right, exactly. You're like, oh, she'll be, Come in, she'll drop kick me.
Bro, that's the one I want right there. Look at that.
Yeah, that's a nice ornament.
Right? Look at that, Hella, right? Isn't that nice, Brett Hella?
That's
Brett
really
Hella,
nice. Look at that. That's really nice.
That's a beautiful Christmas.
Why don't you get the bronze football with the Bills logo on it?
I don't like that. But
once you have one Bills logo thing, ornament on your tree, I think that's enough. I mean, unless you want to cover all directions. East, west, north, south.
It's like my wife again. That's the one I have, but it has the logo engraved in it. In the belly, it's big, too. She's like, this not going on the tree. And it's,
how big is it?
It's about 4 inches wide.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little big.
It was $27, the ornament.
I'm sure it wasn't cheap.
So,
but that's a little bit large.
They saw me coming on that one.
That's a little large for a Buffalo Bills ornament.
Yeah, we're winning right now, bro. I got to run with this right now.
I understand you could be all ecstatic about it.
I don't pitch any Washington Redskins ornaments on your tree.
That's not true. I do have a Skins ornament on my tree.
Interesting.
Yes, I have one that I had growing up.
Nice.
So I had one I've had basically for like 33 or 34 years of my life. Yeah.
What is something sad? I have two Jets Christmas ornaments that are beautiful, and they sit in a box.
Why don't you give them away? Why don't you give them to Bilotti?
To Bilotti? No.
Why not?
He wants it. No, because they're sentimental. It's when I was a Jet fan. It's sad, but I'm not a Jet fan anymore, so they stay in the box.
Do they go back to your childhood?
Yeah, and my wife's like, enough of these. That's totally.
So they go all the way. If they go all the way back to your childhood, I understand. If they go back like 15 years ago from when they moved from Long Island to Florham Park, I would get rid of them.
But you know what's on my end table, right? In my bedroom?
Remind me? Oh, the... I don't know. I don't know.
There was...
A Bill's cheese plate.
Are we going back to the popcorn machine?
No.
Alka-Seltzer?
You guys are full of jokes. No, I...
The pretzel maker?
I mentioned this on the air, and apparently Moose was not paying attention. Not a hat rack. And by the way, no one uses clocks anymore, Pete. Your phone is
your
clock.
Are you talking about the Bill's, the mint thing that you have, the players?
No, you're close. It's actually... You're very close. It's the Jets New York Stock Exchange Danbury Mint.
Oh, Danbury Mint.
And even though I... don't root for the Jets anymore.
Oh,
I
you're will... that guy that buys those.
Well, no, it was a gift from my mom. The J-E-T-E, Jets,
that.
Jets, Jets, but S. That was nice. You took a shot, though. That was
What's
nice
that?
Of you. You took a shot at me for a sentimental gift.
No,
so
I didn't
my
know
mother
it was, number
me,
one is, so. I didn't, thank you for, I didn't know it was a sentimental gift. The Danbury Mint things, I think are, you know, they're
for
beautiful.
Marks. You think Marks buy them because they're so expensive, right?
They are very expensive.
So now my mother's a mock, basically.
No, I'm not. I didn't say your mother's a mock. I'm not insulting your mother. My God.
My mother's tough, dude.
You guys are.
She's up in Staten Island, bro. She'll get on the phone and she'll go off on everybody here. You have no idea.
I understand. No, I'm not insulting your mother.
She's 81 and she curses like a Navy SEAL.
I'm sure she's very, very tough.
She is real Brooklyn lady.
To me, I would not make an investment in something from the Danbury Mint.
Well, she bought me this New York Jacket. You know,
I'm sure it's beautiful.
Klecko, Gaston, Abdul Salam, Marty Lyons, and it sits there every night. I got to look at this.
You dust it.
I do.
Oh, good for you.
Every night, it's beautiful. But you know, yeah.
Well, you have that. Watch. You know, that's going to remain there. So give your ornaments to Bilotti. At least one of them. Gift it to him. He'll treasure it forever.
The ornament deserves to celebrate the holiday.
Yeah, it deserves to be out of the box.
Thank you, Brad.
And Bilotti's tree's lonely.
Yeah, you're never going back to being a Jet fan. That doesn't go back to your childhood. You probably bought it at Hallmark 15 years ago.
Yeah, my wife bought them for me. Sentimental. But she said, let's get rid of them. So I think if I said,
well, your wife's got a lot of sentiment
to it. I think
she
would drive
it
to Pete's house.
Yeah.
Like, so
how about this? How you make this swap. Here's the swap for you. You buy another Bills ornament and say, here's another Bills one. I'm going to get rid of the two Jet ones.
I don't know. Oh, my God.
She would take that swap.
She's a little sick of the lacrosse ornaments all over the tree and football ornaments. My son played
football.
Well,
why don't you get...
She's
like,
tired of it.
Why don't you get Rudolph dressed up as a Buffalo Bill?
Throwing an ornament to be named later.
How about why don't you get Santa? There's those all over the place. Well, you get them in the team colors. There's Santa is wearing the Buffalo Bills team
this
colors.
This is the one. Santa has the head coach.
Yeah.
Look at that one.
Do that.
Right? That's cute, right? She might
that's
like that.
That's a good one. That's
right?
A good one.
Santa,
yeah.
Sean McDermott, right. Santa with the beard.
Right.
Santa with a headset and khakis. I mean, what's better than that?
Yeah, I got to get this. She's going to love it. Oh,
yeah.
Man, I'm in trouble.
I mean, Taz wants to buy an ornament that's like Bill's testicles hanging from the tree.
I don't know where that came from, homie, but
like machismo walking in.
Yeah, no, I was just looking for.
Yeah, I'd vote Santa.
Yeah, I'd go. And you're like, why doesn't my wife like this?
And yeah,
like,
it's what? Like a,
it's an ox. Not
yeah,
a
look at this.
Likes
look
the at bills. This. Oh my yeah. God, look at this. Now that's a man's ornament. And your wife's yeah. like, can't we just have some angels and yeah. Rudolph and I Frosty know. On the tree?
Santa in a red hat, not with a logo on it.
Yeah,
like you know, like I hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what happens here. So, yeah.
Anyway, good luck with that, though.
Thanks.
I still vote for Bilotti to get one of those jet ornaments. He'll love it forever.
Maybe we should put a poll up.
He's not asking for one. He's sitting there quiet.
Yes.
He's not. You know,
he's begging. I will be Bilotti's agent. I'll represent
10%. No,
I don't. No, I don't want 10% of the jet ornament. But I will. I think Bilotti. If you gave that to him, he would. You'd make his year.
Look at that one. It's out of stock, though. See, the good ones are all out of stock.
Yeah, it's all right. Tis the season with the Bills logo.
Yeah, it's white it's ball.
Not, yeah.
You don't like it?
I'm sure there's beautiful, a yeah, lot of Christmas it. Ornaments.
I'm like fired up.
Yes, you're excited. Now I know why your wife is tired of the Bills ornaments. This is probably all you talk about all day.
Dude, I do.
Honey, look at this. All right, I've
said to her
enough.
Yesterday four times, I'm going to buy my own ornaments. She goes, I can't buy it. Do whatever you want to do. Go ahead, go. Go.
On our tree, we've got a lot. We've got some Star Wars stuff on our tree.
My That's cool.
Gets bothered by
That's
that.
Cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Got like Darth Vader. The tree turns out. The tree turns on. And
Brad, we'll see you later, buddy.
Oh, you're done, Brad?
What are you talking about?
You got to go?
All right, we'll see you soon.
Anything going on right now?
All right. What's going on, Brad? How you doing?
Well, I'm sure you guys have been talking about Rendon.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Kawhi Leonard back in Toronto.
MVP chance?
MVP chance. Got his ring, and they won. Did the Raptors.
Okay.
I feel bad. Like, you're walking away. You don't walk away in anger.
It's not anger at all.
What time do you have to make the other update?
I have 4 minutes.
Oh, you have 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all you got? Like, were you cold coming in this morning?
No. You know what? I mean, Thursdays are hard. I find Thursdays are the toughest day of the week. But
gotcha.
I find a lot of people disagree with me on that one, so...
Well, good luck with your next update.
I'll be back, though.
Yes, we'll see
if you
in an
have
hour.
Me. I'll be back.
Yes.
I just don't want you walking away in anger. I got to
no,
be
not at all.
You.
Not at all. This isn't like a Liam Noel Gallagher.
Excuse
thing.
Me.
Oasis. Don't look away.
Oh, you know
I don't
the song.
Know the name of the song.
Look at this guy. I didn't know the name. I knew
don't
it was
look
Oasis.
Back in anger. This yeah, is not
it's
no,
something like that.
No
yeah, it's
hard
a great
feelings.
Song, by the way.
I'll be back.
I feel like you're going to just leave. Like you're going to Hudson Street and you're gone.
Well, he's got 2.5 minutes for another update.
Yeah. Which I have to write, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
You don't have Mike write it? No? All right.
Brad's
no,
got
that out of his contract.
Sorry to get into a tizzy here. I apologize.
No, that's all right.
I was just talking about the Christmas season. Sorry, Brad. Just talking about the holidays. Just trying to be Festus.
Festive.
Right.
Yes. Thank you.
Right. This is the season, Moose, for update guys to be mad at Taz on a regular basis.
Well, we'll hear from Heller next hour. We certainly will. And Taz will continue to search for Buffalo Bills ornaments.
I actually will.
Yes. Are the Dodgers the big losers? Are the Yankees now even more hateable, Taz? Little baseball getting us going here on this Thursday morning, and we'll certainly get you into the holiday spirit, right? It's flying by. The month is flying by. Christmas is a couple weeks away. That's it.
Yeah, and then it's over. Then you're into the
then
grind
right
of,
into
of
the
2020.
New year.
You're in the grind of
yes.
2020 dealing with everybody's BS.
Yes.
And happy Thursday.
Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning. Ryan Wilson is going to join us coming your way next hour. The Mets made a little free agency news yesterday. I felt you got yourself back into the rotation star, Michael Walker.
Yeah.
Hello?
Well, because, you know, you got guys like Rendon, guys like Cole. I mean, I wanted something. I want a big-time guy, you know what I mean? Like, I mark out for that stuff, and that's not happening.
No, not right now. I think Brody Van Wagenen is basically, and he's in a very, very difficult spot.
Mm.
You know, he takes over as general manager, right? Leaves his agency last offseason. kind of the surprise of a lot of people that the Mets go with a former agent or an agent to be their next general manager. And then the next year, the reports are that the Mets are selling 80% of the team to Steve Cohen. Now, we do know that Fred and Jeff Wilpon are going to remain, reportedly, if this deal should go through, in power and in control for the next 5 years. But Steve Cohen, you know, who, you know, Mr. Wall Street, spending $2.6 billion on 80% of the team, you know, that doesn't necessarily make you feel good if you're Brody Van Wagenen, because, I mean, who knows in terms of if that is indeed true, that the Wilpons remain in power for the next 5 years. We have to see that
play out. I think.
Play out, correct.
Play out.
And then number two is, if it doesn't play out that way, Taz, you would have to imagine that Cohen would want to bring in a general manager that's his guy.
I would think so.
I mean, you would think
you're spending
that kind of money. Are you going to take a holdover general manager?
Oh, no way, dude. No way. You know that.
I mean, this is not George Steinbrenner and Hal and Hank Steinbrenner, who were George's sons taking over the team,
where
they kept Cashman aboard. I mean, Cashman has been there for years. So, I mean, that this is a little bit different. There's no, you know, it's not like the Wilpons kids are taking over the team.
Right. It's not a family.
Right, correct.
Deal,
yeah. This is an outside guy who's reportedly a huge Met fan.
Yeah.
Is very motivated, wants to spend a lot of money.
Stephen A. Cohen.
Correct. And, you know, Brody Van Wagenen's in the bad position here where I'm sure he's thinking about, and I understand he signed a 4-year deal, but still, I mean, that's 4 years. That's not a lifetime.
No, it's not. It's not. But about Michael Wacha, I mean, I'm not, I mean, look, he's on my team now, so I'm, you know, I love him, of course. You know, I'm all in, but still, I didn't want to minimize what happened. You know, he's a really good pitcher and stuff.
Well, really good's a little strong.
Well, no, he's a good pitcher. He's not really good. He's good. He's going to be really great in the blue and orange, though. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, there you go. Very
maybe.
Nice.
Maybe. Yeah,
positive Pete this morning.
Big dude, though, man. He's like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Hill,
he's a big guy, and he had stretches. And, you know, he's coming off a bad year, but he's had stretches a number of years ago.
Well, you wouldn't even let me call him great. You just shot him down. You're like, eh.
I don't think Waka's. I think if you're going to say Waka's great, then you'd have to say Jacob DeGrom is Jesus.
Okay. Gotcha. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Would you say Waka's good or really good?
I would say that Waka for a fifth starter is a decent starter.
I'm not arguing with you. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, I think he's a decent starter. I'm not trying to. I think he is what he is at this stage.
Right. No, you're right.
I thought at one point in time, I thought he was going to. He looked like he was going to be an absolute star for the Cardinals.
Right.
And pitched very, very well in the postseason.
He's had a lot of injuries, though, dude.
He's been
banged up.
Yeah, you're right about that. Maybe he finds himself once again here. Yeah. You know, with the Mets, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm usually and you know this. A lot of those pitchers are tall, and like the benefit to a guy like that's 6'6" and Walker or these other guys that are tall is the release point of the ball. Once they go through their stretch and as they release the ball, it's a lot tougher for the batter to pick up that ball out of his hand.
Well, no doubt.
Because the arm is so long, you know what I mean?
Well, correct. And you're not, you know, we know that, you know, home and to the pitcher's rubber is 60 feet 6 inches, right? So you're releasing the baseball, you're not 60 feet 6 inches away. Sometimes you're 52 feet away.
That's right.
So because you get that of your stride and your ability to drive down off the mound. That's where, you know, historically speaking, everyone looks at, you know, your arm speed and how do you generate power, right? And when you look at pitchers who are able to stay healthy, what do they use? I mean, you look at what Tom Seaver, I understand Roger Clemens did PEDs later on in his career, but Roger Clemens, other guys, you look at what they do, you know, below the waist has in order to drive.
The power, man.
Right. And that's really the engine to arm strength is your ability to drive off of the rubber and kind of that action downward toward home plate.
Right.
And if you're 6'6", obviously, that action is going to be a lot stronger and you've got a lot more force to it than, say, if you're 5'10", 5'11".
No doubt, because the reaction time has to be so much quicker for the batter in a box. It's a lot difficult, like we're discussing, to pick up the ball.
Yeah.
That's why it's impressive when a guy like Stroman, talking about the Mets, like a Marcus Stroman, he's 5'7", dude, 5'8". For him to be, I'm saying, have such a good career.
How about Pedro Martinez?
What? How tall is Martinez?
Martinez was like 5'10".
Stroman's shorter.
No, my point, but it's 3 inches. I mean, you're not looking at, I understand.
Dude, inches means a lot in a lot of different things.
Well, not, I don't think it's that significant. You look at Pedro,
I thought he was more than 5'10", Pedro, no?
No, he's not, no.
Really?
He's a smaller guy, yeah.
So he's my height. All right, I didn't realize that.
You're not 5'10".
Well, Yeah. Well, I had there was a pile driver in 95. I became 5'9".
That's what
I used to be 5'10". I landed on my head, everything compacted.
Sure.
By the time I'm 60, if I make it that long, I'll be 5'3".
Yes.
I'll be a microphone. I'll be a Christmas ornament.
Maybe. Okay. You can put a Bills logo on you and
just
put you right
on a tree.
Right, throw you right outside the front door.
Bills hat on.
That's it. That's exactly right. But we talked about these baseball winter meetings, Taz, in terms of, you know, having some action. And you look at, it's not like you've had a cavalcade of moves.
No.
You've had big signings. You had three big signings. You've had some secondary signings like Waka and Blake Treinen, the former A, sign on with the Dodgers, a one-year $10 million deal. And, you know, the three big signings, which we talked about to kick off the program this morning. But aside from that, there have not been multiple, you know, trades. There hasn't been all that much action. And pretty much the winter meetings are over. I mean, there are guys that have already left in terms of agents. The Rule 5 draft is this morning out in San Diego. And pretty much by this afternoon, West Coast time, I mean, the winter meetings will be wrapped up. I mean, that'll be it.
I got to tell you, I think Tuesday probably was the biggest day because that's when Cole happened. That's when Gregorius happened, you know, with the Phillies, right? That was Tuesday, right? Yeah, I think that was.
Yeah.
They were both Tuesday. Yeah, so, and there was something else. The Angels traded somebody, too. I remember reading it, drawing a blank. To the Giants.
Oh, Cozart.
Right, Cozart. That's
right. Yeah. Cozart to the Giants.
Zach Cozart. So that was all Tuesday, too. Yeah, so Tuesday was probably the bigger day, right? I mean, so whatever. But you're right, just about done now.
Over. Did you see, being a Met fan that you are, right?
Yes.
And Biseglia's a Met fan, Bilotti's a Met fan. On social media yesterday, did you see Andy Martino and Anthony DeComo going back and forth?
No, I don't. I don't pay
attention. So Andy Martino, who covers the Mets for SNY, is like their baseball insider. Good guy. DeComo's a good guy too. Covers the Mets for MLB.com. So Martino came out with a report that the Mets and Astros, you know, had a kind of a conversation about Carlos Correa.
Right.
There was a report over the last 24 hours that the Astros might try and trade Correa, because they might not be able to afford him long term. Then DeComo sends out a tweet about 4 hours later and said, according to baseball sources, the Mets, Astros, Carlos Correa conversation is more like fantasy baseball. It's not going to happen.
Wow. So they kind of went. Yeah.
So then Martino quotes the DeComo tweet and says, I'm not saying it was going to happen. I just reported they had a conversation, which they did.
Mm-mm-mm.
Getting a little snippy. A little snippy.
That's
between
funny.
DeComo and Martino about, listen, the Mets are not getting Carlos Correa.
No,
That's not happening.
No, they're not.
But I love the fact, though, that people, I love the fact of guys, and they're both good guys. I know them both. And I've worked with both of them, both good guys. I love the fact of kind of the snippiness and the back and forth regarding Carlos Correa and the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, that's as heavy as it gets with baseball writers on Twitter. You guys see some wrestling back and forth. That's all nonsense.
Just
the Como, let me ask you a question. Yeah. I don't know these guys. Who's more of a wrestling fan, Martinez or Martino? Or, what's his name, Martino?
Andy Martino.
Right.
Anthony DeComo.
Anthony DeComo, he's a beat writer for the Mets. I understand
correct.
That. Who's more of a wrestling fan?
I have no idea. I don't know.
If
I had
to
guess,
because I'll follow whoever which one of them.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say DeComo.
I was just fixing to follow him, but I don't think I'm going to know.
But I would say, if you asked me if I thought any of them, I would say neither of them follow wrestling.
Then I'm not following either of them.
But so, Martino might. He's got a young kid, a young son. He might have a little bit.
Where are these guys from? DeComo, where's he from?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. Martino lives in Jersey.
This guy, DeComo, he's doing his ratio. See, this guy's got like 90,000 followers on Twitter, and he only follows 471. So once I see that, that's a red flag. I don't follow you because you have an ego. You could tell him I said that, too.
Okay. It's amazing what you look into in terms of Twitter. I don't look into
I have time during the day. I do this. I just stare at stuff. I figure things out.
No,
I have analytics people that I call up on the phone.
This ratio thing on social media.
It's a huge thing to me.
I know it is. Trust me, you've referenced it about 5 times in the last 6 months. I know you are. We'll come back. We'll talk about the NFL. The commissioner had some interesting comments yesterday. We'll get into that next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.